What's going on, everybody? Radio AFX here. The Paso Garage is on the air, and we got a lot to talk about today. It's week one. Round Hate Week is here. And Anthony Paso, what is it? He is drunk in Philadelphia. That's right where Anthony Paso is. That's where he is. So, because Anthony Paso is inebriated, I have my co-host today, standing in for the Passionator himself. Ladies and gentlemen, you know him, you love him, Farmer Jacob.
You know, A-Bomb, one of these days, you will actually get my name right. You know, because it did actually, you know, I trained Paso. It took almost a year to train Paso and actually just calling me Farmer. So I understand that, you know, it may take you older generation people that may have Alzheimer's or just dementia every now and then, that my name is Farmer. Yes, it is. Jacob is my first name, and understand that I was Farmer Jacob there for a while, but you know, if you can just remember that, write it down, you know, like what Stork Prime always says is to write stuff down so you don't get it wrong.
Really? Really? You expect to train the aim bomb. I was married for 15 years and that witch couldn't train me. No, you stand no chance. Nice. But you know what, Farmer, we got to talk about some stuff. We got to talk about some serious business. You know what number jersey I usually wear? Do you? I usually wear number 49. And Bruce Miller has disgraced that jersey. Disgraced our organization. I would hate to say he disgraced it worse than Colin Kaepernick just did. Our team is in a total class freefall. Our team is becoming classless. Is this the effect of the York family? Because, you know, the York family, they let T.O. get away with a bunch of crap. And now you see this stuff again, this shit again. And I'm sorry, audience. I don't mean to cuss, but I'm the A-bomb. And I'm thoroughly disgusted. I mean, Bruce Miller was arrested for assault. He beat up an old dude. He beat him up. He's beating up senior citizens. I mean, this guy was 70 years old. He was thumping on this dude. Then his 70-year-old dad steps in, and he thumps on this guy, too. Man, you know, our organization is just, it is just at the pinnacle of absolute disgust. I mean, who are we? We're lower than the Raiders have ever been. The fucking Raiders. Excuse my French. Farmer. Farmer, what are we going to do, bud? What are you talking about?
Well, A-Bam, you know, about Bruce Miller, you know, this isn't his first time of being accused of assault. You know, he did assault his wife or girlfriend, and the team kind of turned the black eye, no pun intended, on that. Granted, I'm definitely not for, you know, domestic abuse, man on woman, woman on man, or man on man action. But what Bruce Miller did to this 70-year-old gentleman and his grandson, or whoever that may be, was definitely a despicable act, and I'm actually glad that the Trent Baalke, and I usually don't give Jed York any bonus points for anything, but I'm actually happy that they released Bruce Miller for his, what I will say, shenanigans, A-Bomb. But, you know, I really see, you know, us just being really, really the, you know, the soon-to-be Raiders of the NFL based on what Cap did, based on what Bruce Miller did, and kind of based on the pattern of the 49ers. I think at one point we were 365 days and then some, without a police record, you know, for our team. So, like I said, I really feel that we are becoming the Oakland Raiders, and that pisses me off because that's definitely not us.
Boy, you know, Farmer, went to my first 49er game in 1976. And then, you know, the Martello family bought the team. I remember when I was little, the transition. Eddie Martello always wanted the team to be competitive. Boy, were they competitive. But he always stressed, he's told these guys, I'm going to give you first class everything. And that's back in the days when the NFL, you know, they had players staying in roach-ridden motels. Eddie Bartolo put a stop to all that. And he said, I'm going to treat you with class, but when you represent me and my team, you got to have class. And that's what the San Francisco 49ers were known for. Class. Winning with class. Like the old Yankees in the great days of baseball, you know. It was their job. And you knew when they showed up, they'd come to beat you. And that was our team. And now we're a bunch of bozos, wife beaters, America haters. I'm depressed. I mean, the 49ers are the icon of Northern California sports. They were supposed to represent everything that was good in the world. For working guys like you, like me, guys that lead miserable frickin' lives. And all we look forward to are 16 weeks a year where we can escape and watch our team. And now these players, they act like they're on the San Quentin yard. Well, now Bruce Miller's off getting a denim wedding ring. Dumpster baby Colin Kaepernick is running all over hating the damn country. I'm beside myself, Farmer. I'm beside myself. Let me see who we got on the line here. I honestly think this could be, would it be Reverend Worm who's calling in? Reverend Worm, welcome to the Paso Garage of the A-Bug.
What's up, guys?
I'm depressed, man. I'm depressed.
You guys were cracking up.
Dumpster babies. You straight up said dumpster babies.
Not only is there a worm here, but we also have Frank Wop and Young Jesta over here.
Jesta may be in the house.
Oh, nice. Sounds like you got a regular Radio AFS convention. Hey, fellas, you're not Niner fans, I know that. And even though this is a Niner show, what is your take on dumpster baby Colin Kaepernick and senior citizen abuser Bruce Miller? I mean, is Bruce Miller like going around the rest homes and beating up grannies with their bedpans during the off season? Oh, is that shit. How he kept in shape? You tell me.
Possibly. That might be a secret.
That's just horrible.
Man, I thought my show was bad.
Oh, no, I'm the A-bot. This year's show is actually pretty tame compared to what I do on Tuesday night. Tuesday night is the fallout shelter, guys. So, hey, just a call. What do you got to say? You're on the Paso Garage.
Man, you know.
Radio AFS.
If you have tuned into the wormhole at all, you would have heard our stance on Kaepernick, you know what I'm saying? He's kind of an ass cap. For, you know, doing what he's done because.
Son. He's way below that. He's ass juice. Okay? He's straight green ass juice from a freaking cyst, an infected cyst on the lining of the wall of an asshole. That's what he is. And he doesn't even have the dignity to squirt out on a leg. He's squirting up into the sphincter. That's what's happening.
What the fuck?
Well, I imagine I understand your stance now, anyways.
Oh, yeah, you know, I love my country. I love my team. And now I've got, you know, one asshole beating up senior citizens, right? I mean, okay, going in, finding Grandma Jones, right? Rummaging through her purse, taking her inhaler, and beating the fuck out of her with a bedpan, you know? And now we got America hates dumpster baby, Colin Kaepernick, who grew up in small-town America with the whitest parents in the world, right, who lived a life of complete white privilege, okay?
And we're not big into sports, but like, wasn't Kaepernick like known for being like a Christian or whatever when he got into it first?
Well, yeah, man. He grew up in Turlock, California, and that's Andy Griffithville. That's fucking Mayberry, okay? It's Mayberry. That's where he went to Piedmont High, okay? I'm from Stockton, which is 50 miles up the road. I'm from the ghetto. And guess how? I was the white kid in my school. Literally. And you know what? I wish I was oppressed like Colin Kaepernick. I wish that you know, my parents could afford to fly me to Green Bay and get tickets to a Packers game. You know what I mean?
You want to go to a Packers game?
Well, yeah, I want to shit on the 50-yard line. I'm a Niner fan. Come on now. I'd love to leave a dump in Lambeau. You know, if my parents had his parents had, man, I went there with 2-ply toilet paper. I'd been shitting in high cotton. You know? You see, I'm not buying the oppression shit. And you know what, man? We have a motto at Radio AFS on the sports side, because we know you're on the political and entertainment side. Our thing is, hate the man's team, but don't hate the man. You know what I mean? And we're anti-fan violence. We hate it. My co-host, the Oakland Knight, and I, we point that. And me being a Niner fan, now I got one of my players beating the shit out of old guys. Wow.
There is story after story of these fucking boneheads and the way they act with all their millions and millions, and it's quite ridiculous. I've pretty much taken a stance to where all football can just go to hell. I mean, it's not very hard for me to do that here with our Lions being our team. It's easy to just let go of football.
So hard, though.
Here's the question. You guys are in Detroit. You're in Detroit, and I know a little bit about Detroit sports. I'm not a hockey fan, but I know the Red Wings mean everything to you.
We almost hung up on you right there when you said you didn't like hockey, actually.
Oh, no, there's not a lot of ice and snow where I'm
guess
from.
Guess it's all hockey fans and shit, all deep and shit.
That's
well,
the
it's
way
gotta
it
be.
I didn't grow up playing, okay? I did. That's the only reason I'm not into it, okay? But
it's like
I understand how much you love your team. You know what I'm saying? Imagine
it's the greatest team ever. I mean, yeah, you got to love the Red Wings. They're just the greatest ever. You can't. I mean, it's hockey town. But
I'm completely neutral, bro. Hold on. Let me put this before you. Imagine the best player on your team today, the face of your franchise, comes out and wipes his ass with Old Glory. So then you'd know how I feel.
Well, luckily it's hockey, and I think the next game he played, he's going to be feeling it from all the other guys on the thing, because you can take your revenge out and all sorts of stuff on the ice. That's what makes a good thing, you know. You can just fight somebody, be like, I don't like you. Like, imagine, you know, if one team was like, dude, each one of us are going to fight him once that game. I mean.
But he's just talking about, like, the disappointment, though, man, you know.
Yeah. No, it would definitely suck, man. He's really made an ass out of himself. He, instead of apologizing and just trying to make it better, he's trying to create a situation out of it. And maybe he knows he's tanking and his career is coming to an end, and he's trying to become some sort of person, activist, or something that will be in the limelight after football.
Right. He's trying to make people know his name. Is what it is,
yeah,
you know,
right,
because
yeah.
He's really mediocre as far as it goes, as, you know, legends.
Mr. Worm and Mr. Frankie, how you guys doing? It's Farmer.
The Farmer.
I feel like I just talked to you.
Farmer. I know, right? Like a couple hours ago. Now, I know you guys are very big hockey fans, And I don't know if you saw from HockeyWorld.com, which Radio AFS just posted about 30 minutes ago, there is a big hubbub going around where the NHL is possibly thinking of not playing the Star Spangled Banner.
What?
That's ridiculous. They're just being ridiculous now.
That's never going to work. Whether they try it a couple times, that's never going to work.
They took the Pledge of Allegiance out of school. I mean, where does it end, man?
There it is.
You can't pride your country anymore. You can't be a patriot. It's against the law. Where's the fucking line?
The government runs the schools, and the government can just do whatever they want, really.
Now they're trying to take over y'all fucking sports programs. That's not cool, right?
Right, but you can just not show up to a sports game. You can't just not pay
your
taxes.
But, I mean, even then, I mean, that's not right, man. If you want to wave your flag or show support for your country, that's a little toss.
That's a lot toss. But the thing is there – these people hate their own country. It's like if any other country invaded us today and took over America, which ones do you think would show any kindness to you because you hated your own country?
Right.
We're in this together, man, and that's what people don't realize.
For sure.
Well, guys, you know what the NHL was saying is, you know, it's actually not played at the World Cups. It's not played. You know, not the World Cups, but, you know, the World Hockey. It's not played at, at any of the, you know, at the Olympics. The only time that it's played there is if they win.
That's all global, though. That's not just America.
Well, they play it at the Olympics. They play every country's national anthem when they come out onto the field.
Just the once, though, right?
At the beginning
of
the game.
Right. Well, that's the thing. It's fine if, say, they're playing in Montreal and they don't play the Star Spangled Banner. Play O Canada. I don't care. You know, but when we're in America, better do the Pledge of Allegiance, the Star Spangled Banner.
Mountain.
I mean, if they stop doing it in hockey, how are we going to watch hot chicks fall on the ice all the time? Because those are great videos.
Well, yeah, and they definitely are, guys, and I understand that. But it's crazy where the PC world is really taking everything and it's redonkulous.
Yeah, it's definitely
the pussification of America, farmer. It's the pussification of America. Yeah. That's a farmer.
I'm going to take that. You know, I'm going to definitely patent that from you. I need to do the patent on that because that is definitely getting around America, guys.
Well, we'll see about that.
You're going to put a trademark it. Like, that's hot.
You know.
Or OJ.
Speaking
you
of.
You know what, fellas?
OJ.
I am absolutely depressed. How can you guys laugh when Dumpster Baby's hating our country and when Bruce Miller's hating us all day as farmer? Tell me. Where's the class gone? We need Eddie back. Farmer, help me understand it, dude. I mean, well, I'm really
I would love to, but it's just, you know, honestly, it's the pussification of America and, you know, these millennials are just ruining our country. You know, I feel like this is the beating drum show just because of what's being said on it. But, you know, it's sports related. And, you know, like you guys said, where's this going to stop? And I don't have the answer for it personally.
Well, I believe he has the freedom to do whatever the hell he wants. But as far as people just – if more people are against it, then they're going to lose fans and they're going to go under and they're going to have to get rid of them anyways. I mean, it's up to us to use our dollars and our bodies to stop these things. I mean, it's their rights, but, you know, he can do whatever he wants. But you have to show that you don't support it. You know, don't go.
That's just money in his pocket.
When he gets his reality show.
Don't go out there. Don't give him money.
Right. So what you guys are saying, hold on. So now what you're saying is that we need to boycott hockey if they don't play the national anthem? That's going to be, really? So you're telling
for
me
sure.
that you would never go and that would mean watch it on TV also.
I don't watch it.
Yeah, I mean, I the Stanley Cups maybe, but otherwise it's great to go to a show or a game, but I don't make it a point. I got way too much going on, man. I'm like on adventures. We got radio shows. There's a life out there.
I would be bummed if I couldn't watch hockey, but at the same time, the people have to make a stand somewhere, and the only thing that controls any of these people's emotions is basically money,
exactly.
cash. That's
exactly.
it. That's what we've become as a country,
as a society, as a world.
It's all about money. Everybody's just – it's about money, the bottom line. Nobody has no sentimental value in anything.
Have you guys heard that the national anthem, and this is definitely going away from the 49ers, but have you guys heard that the national anthem is racist? A-Bomb, you got to take this one on, because the third verse says what, A-Bomb? And so did you guys know that the Star Spangled Banner was racist?
All right,
yeah.
Hold on. If you guys check that A-Bomb – All Out Shelter radio host channel on YouTube. Farmer, we went over this. There is, you see, the Star Spangled Banner started off as a poem. And it has a lot more verses than the song does. One of the verses in the poem is aired or slave. Okay? Now, according to your Black Lives Matter people who don't give a shit about any other lives, that makes the national anthem racist. But you can tell they all failed English class utterly in high school, because back in the day, heir stood for royalty and slave stood for non-royalty, as well as literal slaves.
Well, even then, though,
so
there was
the
Irish
problem?
Slaves and stuff. There wasn't just black slaves. I mean, you had slaves from all sorts of countries.
Right, right. Well, here's the thing, guys. Here's the thing, okay? The Irish that were here as quote-unquote slaves in America, we were indentured servants. Some of them were my ancestors, okay? And an indentured servant came here, and they had to work off a 7-year note. Now, of course, what history teachers nowadays forget to say is most of those people that came here as indentured servants lived 5 years or less, okay? Now, everybody here in this country, no matter what your background is, unless you're, you know, like the Rockefellers landing on Plymouth Rock, you know, with a golden spoon in your ass, everybody in this country has been oppressed at one time or another. And here's my question to all those folks, okay? I want the government of Italy. I want 40 acres and a mule in Tuscany, because they made my ancestors who came from France, England, and Ireland slaves for 500 years. No, excuse me, almost 1,000 years.
That's why they shouldn't be so sour about it. There was other cultures affected by all this, and it's so stupid to just put it on that.
I want a case of Dago Red every day for the rest of my life.
You know what? We're all slaves.
No, A-Bomb. Yeah, if we have that, I can't be around, bro. There's no Dago Red around me.
Well,
listen,
dude,
we're all slaves. I do music, and one line I put in one of my songs was, the best slave is one that thinks they're free, you know? A lot of these people might think that they're free, but, you know, that's what I'm saying. Try to pay your taxes. Try to just go grab a piece of land and just hang out there, you know? Even if the government doesn't have land, apparently you can't as far as the North Dakota goes.
Hey, farmer. You know, I'm sitting outside. Farmer's running the studio right now. And, sir, what was your name again?
Alex.
Okay, a gentleman named Alex, who's kind enough to sit on the smoking bench with me, just brought me a free beer. And you know what this beer says on it? You want to know what this cold beer says on the farmer just a week in his hand? It says America.
There it is.
Nice.
There it is.
But it's made in Belgium.
No, the company that owns it's in Belgium. But hey, here's to you, Alex. New garage listener. Big shout out to you. He's getting to hear it from this end because, you know, I'm broadcasting live. Sitting right next to him in front of the Motel 6 in Roseburg, Oregon. Ain't that some shit?
That's straight.
It's like
technology's awesome.
Yeah, mobile studio.
Hell yeah.
Mobile studio. So, hey, you guys normally don't give us a call here on the Password Block. So my question is to you guys, what can we do for you today?
You know what? We really wanted to call in and talk to you guys because Farmer calls us a lot, and we thought we'd exchange the favor, and all of us were here. We're like, let's call in and bug these guys for a little while. I mean, we've got a few things going on that we would like to talk about. I mean, the wormhole season 2 just started. We're on episode 2, just aired a half an hour before this show. You can check that out at Radio AFS. We also have Frankie's show.
Detroit Rock City Radio. That's on Thursdays, 9 p.m. to 11 Eastern time.
That's our shit. Hashtag DRCP.
And we are also working on a new RadioAFS.com website.
That will shortly.
Well, you know, guys, I dealt with you secondhand, because, you know, Farmer is basically my business. You guys know that. And I want you to know, all the stuff we've done for the network, for Paso Garage Radio Show that we're on now, and especially for my show, the Fallout Shelter, I want you guys to know, I really appreciate all the graphic work you've done. I appreciate all the audio work you've done. You're first rate all the way. Eddie DeBartolo would have hired you in 1988.
Well, I really believe. Yeah, awesome. I appreciate that, man. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel good.
So, hey, tell the audience here, because we have a large audience. I mean, you know, we've had up to 100,000 listeners every week. Please, I want them to know, audience, we'll get back to football. Don't worry. But most of the news is so fucking bad, we don't even want to talk it anyway. You know, so fucking disgusting, okay? Thank God we're not on terrestrial radio. The FCC is biting the fuck out of me. Anyway, tell us what you're about, how you approach things, and what's going on with Detroit Rock City and the wormhole on Radio AFM.
Well,
as you know, the wormhole just got over with, but tomorrow is Detroit Rock City Radio. We're going to be doing an old-school hip-hop and rap show for Michigan and Detroit artists. A lot of them that you haven't heard. We're going to be playing some stuff from Eminem back in 1990. That was old school. Just going to just kind of showcase the whole hip-hop movement here in Michigan and in Detroit and the surrounding areas. That's what we'll be doing there. And then, of course, the Beating Drum coming up on Friday. And then we'll have a rebroadcast because we're working on a partnership with Hear It Nation, with having some of our shows syndicated over on their webpage, and we syndicate some of their shows over here. So a lot of things have been going on with the company, the brand, the shows, the network, everything. I mean, it's just been going on right now. We're really catching steam here in the Radio AFS family. And I want to extend a big shout-out to Paso and Farmer for founding this and being the cornerstones and getting us all on board and really just making it happen. We're about a year anniversary almost here, and it's really started taking off with all the hard work and starting to show.
Yeah, shows are tight, man. All these shows are really shows that are on Radio AFS. The Wormhole next week, Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, is we're going to be having a special 9/11 show. On behalf of 9/11, we haven't done a whole lot of 9/11 conspiracy truth things, so that's we're going to focus on that next week. So it should be pretty fun because me and Frank are kind of, he's not really a conspiracy kind of guy, but So I kind of like to mess with them a little bit. So it should be pretty fun to do that show.
Worm's going to jiggle his balls around a little bit.
I always do.
And you know what, guys? I can actually say that Radio AFS is currently working on a L.A. Rams show where we can get
the Dickerson on. You're talking about an L.A. Rams show on a 49ers show.
Well, here, you're going to figure out where I'm going to go with this.
I know. We got to have some. Hold on, Farmer, before you go anywhere with it.
You needed to push the button.
Let me tell you. Hold on, Farmer. Hold on, Farmer. Okay. Radio AFS audience, 49er Empire, we are going to have a Ram show. And I'll let Farmer tell you the government version why. But let me tell you why. Because we need to help L.A. create new Ram fans. Because we know there have really never been any. And nobody's ever cared about that damn team. They were started in Cleveland. They moved to L.A.
Fuck you,
Farmer.
They moved
to St. Louis. They moved back to L.A. Oh, wow. Even Castro agrees.
Fuck you, Farmer.
Radio AFS, we're here to help you. We're here to help you, L.A. Rams fans. We are. So there you go, Farmer. I just thought I'd just throw that in.
Well, yeah, no, you know, and that's what the Niner Empire is here for, is we're here to help our little brother, you know, be a little cute little lamb, and that's how it's going to be. But it's awesome that the network is growing. You know, I was going off of what Frankie and the Reverend Worm was talking about, you know, about the brand growing, and I just wanted, you know, because, you know, we are a 49er fan base, yes. But there are other fan bases that do listen to us. So, you know, and it's great that, you know, Radio AFS is definitely looking outside the 49er and Raider fan base there, A-Bomb.
Oh, yeah, we got something for everybody at Radio AFS at this point, you know, and more just keeps
Fuck
coming.
Fuck you, Farmer!
You know, and I'm sure Paso...
It
just throws you off your game when you eat.
Everybody shut the fuck up!
I know, right? It's just, you know, it's one of them things, you know, kind of like I think he's going to, you know, maybe say something to Jed here, so let's...
I wonder how Paso feels about Jed.
Fuck you, Jed! Fuck you, Jed!
I think that kind of sums it up, doesn't it?
Anthony Paso has such warm feelings in that Dago heart of his for Jed York. He feels such compassion and avarice for dear Jed. And I know Anthony just wants to twist that silver spoon that's been shoved up his ass until it bleeds. I know he wants to do this. I know this, but you know what, fellas? 49er fans, Radio AFS, God, the congregation of the faithful, the whole world. We are in dark times. We thought when that dentist, old Jed York's fucking fuckstick daddy, took over the team, when he stole it from Eddie. Because of his greedy-ass wife in 2000, we thought it was getting bad. We thought it was getting bad when Steve Mariucci started the downslide. We had no fucking idea what we'd be in store for now. This team, my beloved organization, my religion, silver, is this, it may as well be the silver and black. It may as well be the silver and red. Because we turn from the red and gold,
Avon,
from
careful,
the guys
careful,
in the white hats.
You know, Avon, we do know some of the TTC trolls do listen to the show. So, you know, they may take that out of context, man.
Throw the way, brother.
Watch what you say.
Our team is lower than the Raiders have ever been. Let me tell you why. Because even when the Raiders was their most treacherous, you know what? They still love Luke and Luke loves them. When they played in L.A., they loved L.A., and L.A. loved them. The Raiders have never made their own city hate. The 49ers are doing exactly that right now, from the ownership down to the players. And that's what's going on. That's what's really going on.
I couldn't agree with you there, A-Bomb. I'm going to do a quick ad for our gents that are here with us. And then, you know, if they want to chill with us, they're more than welcome to. But I definitely feel the need to press more buttons on the board, because usually I don't get to. So we're going to pay a few bills here, and then we will definitely be back with the DRC Army.
Facebook Young Justice.
Detroit Rock City Promotions. Everything you need for your party, wedding, show, or event. DJ services, tent setup, table and chairs, mobile stages, sound and lighting, photography, on-staff reverend. Book DRCP Army today at 810-627-9773. That number again is 810-627-9773. Or find us on the web at DetroitRockCityPromotions.com.
Tune into the Wormhole.
Speaking about Jean-Claude Van Damme earlier.
Were we speaking about him earlier?
No, actually, we were talking about Chuck Norris.
Chuck Norris, yeah.
Yeah. No, I was talking about the Vietnam War, which was ended. And Chuck Norris, but he had help from Jean-Claude Van Damme.
When he was born, World War II also ended. So.
Right, yeah,
his birth ended
World War II, right. Yeah, we all know that. That's also factually correct.
Well, everything about Chuck Norris is always factually correct.
Yes, everything on the Wormhole.
Fact check it.
Tune into the Wormhole, Wednesdays, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific.
And there you go. That would be the DRCP Army. And also your reverend of the Wormhole. He can definitely get you in the hole anywhere, anytime. And, guys, it's have you guys call on the show.
Oh, thanks so much. We're going to definitely take off here. It's getting kind of late.
You
got
to get
here.
Back to Niner business, man. You can't be holding this up.
We got a lot of work to do around here. We got to work on that website, you know, so make sure the listeners keep their eye open for the new website dropping pretty soon.
Choo.
Upper reserves in the very top. Sidelines in the lower box. Steer, my tailgaters in the main lot. Owner puts the sticks in it, don't stop. Go. Now once that fog rolls in and you feel them strong winds, man, welcome to the sticks. Where the fans go hard until the end through a loss or a win. Yeah, brother, that's the stick. 70,000 faithful got it rocking. With Owens White connected on that sprint right option. Head to toe, red and gold. You see, I'm not a pride. When John Taylor took that punt return for 95, we went crazy. Dominated the 80s. See, I was just a baby. But Pops would always take me to the stick to see the greats. Dean, Haley, and Craig. Ronnie, Brian, and Brent. Candlestick represent. What's up? All the memories make my head spin. When Michael Carter picked six on the Redskins. And Steve took that victory lap after he just sent the Cowgirls crying back to Texas. We know it's old, we know it's cold. But this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever faithful, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, you showing up, all my diehards know what's up. My season ticket holder standing proud, and back surgery just couldn't keep my tanner down. Chill, see I was caught up in the moment when I heard Joe Starkey yelling. Watching Young get away from the Vikings, the comebacks on the Saints and the Giants. Hitting Pittsburgh right in the mouth on Monday night, the lights went out. Divisional round with Green Bay when Cap took off on them all. That pack of linebackers still looking for the ball. You see, we all witnessed greatness when Jerry broke the touchdown record on the Raiders. When Hurst turned it up and got ghost. And Alex hit Vernon on the post.
It might be old, it might be cold, but I left my heart here, cause this is home. We know it's old, we know it's cold, but this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever faithful, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know what's up. We know it's old, we know it's cold, but this is Candlestick and we call it home. Forever faithful, red and gold. The mother fans hate it, but we love it though. Cause this is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, yeah this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, we showing up, all my diehards know what's up. This is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, this is home. This is home, this is home. Candlestick Park, this is home. This is home, this is home. Welcome to the stick, this is home. And even though they finna blow it up, all my diehards know what's up. This is home.
Everybody, got the A-Bomb here, back on the Paso Garage radio show, Radio AFS, and we are going to rock. We are going to talk some 49er football. We're going to talk some awesome 49er football, and, you know, it's going to be a lot of fun. We got some issues, though. We got a lot of issues with our team. And I'm not talking about on the field issues. We're talking off the field. We got politics getting in the way of our team. We had a member of our team who's cut, who's gone, who's beating up old people. What is going on with our team? We're going to week one against the Los Angeles Rams, and that ought to be a celebration. But it's not. It's not. It's a disgrace. I have never seen my beloved team in such horrible shape, morally. It's like every ounce of class we ever had that Eddie DeBartolo ever brought to us is gone. I mean, I'm an old guy, 24 years old. I'm dedicated to this. I mean, Sandra, who's watching us on the live feed in the 49ers fan set up the Facebook group, I got my tattoo here. I take it serious. I got my colors on no matter what I do. And I took a trip. I was up here in Washington, full of Seahawks fans. Good people. A lot of good people. And they're giving me piles of shit. Tons of shit. And I've been planning this trip for a year. I'm going to Washington, chopping up with a bunch of people that listen to my shows, listen to the Passing Good Vibes, people I know on Facebook, people I know on YouTube. Get to meet them, talk some trash, talk some football, and then Colin Kaepernick does his thing. And they don't want to talk football anymore. They want to talk politics. They want to talk Colin Kaepernick. So I got to address that. I'm beside myself. I'm really upset. I wanted to talk about our offensive line. I wanted to talk about our receiving corps. I wanted to talk about Blaine Gabbert and why I think he's a better choice than Colin Kaepernick. But you know what? All that I'm just so anxious up to talk about is gone. It's absolutely gone. And I always thought that sports were supposed to be above politics, above race, above religion. Sports is something that always brought us together. You know, it doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what religion you are, how much you're worth, and your parents are rich, or you're poor, where you went to school, it doesn't matter. If you were a 49er fan, you were my friend. We could disagree on everything, but if we agreed on being 49er fans and loving our team, that always gave me something to talk about with somebody who I normally probably wouldn't even talk to. And Colin Kaepernick took that away. Now we have what Alvin Smith did while he was a 49er, what led to his being cut. We have two other indiscrepancies. It's like our team is the Sam Quinton, you know, throwaways that get $1 million contracts to play pro ball. Our players used to set examples. I mean, did any of you see Tom Rathman beating a 70-year-old man? Could you picture that? I could. Could you picture, you know, Joe Montana or Steve Young or Steve Spurrier or Roddy, Whitey Fiddle? Could you picture any of them wiping their ass with the American flag? Could you picture Jeff Garcia doing it? I could. I could. And here's the thing. As much as I harp on Dumpster Baby, America hated Colin Kaepernick, he's shit. I worship the guy up until he pulled that shit. I worship him. I'm from Stockton, California. Colin Kaepernick had one of the greatest All-American stories of the year. He was abandoned 4 months old, adopted by a family who looked beyond race, And he had God in his house. And his family was wealthy enough for him to be able to explore that and find his niche. And then he got the greatest job on the planet Earth. He got Joe Montana's job. Something that me and millions of 49er fans dreamed of as kids. And then he gets to win. And it takes all that away from me. I don't know what to do. Pretty upset. It's been eating me up. It's been absolutely eating me up. If you want to call in, the number is, of course, Terry Payne, 646-668-8467. I get you on the air right away. But anyways, we got a little song break. We'll look a couple things up. And we're going to talk some 49ers, and I'm bringing this here song. This song back from 1984. I remember I recorded it on KNDR. I recorded it after we beat the Dolphins in the Super Bowl. And I think I played it for a week straight. I know a lot of you know about Chicago Bears when they did the Super Bowl shuffle. They weren't the first. In fact, we weren't even the first, but we did it a year before they did. And it's called We're the 49ers. And it features the 1984 San Francisco 49ers. Here you go.
Come in all six ways to Sunday.
All right, everybody. That, of course, was the 1984 World Champion, San Francisco 49ers. That's where the 49ers. But now let's start talking about this year's squad, okay? This year's squad, we got some issues. Got a lot of issues. And now, Chip Keller, he was asked about our receiving core. He's pretty young. Looks like Torrance Smith is the big dog in our receiving core now. Vanquan gone. We got Torrey Smith. We got Aaron Burbidge. We got Clinton Patton. Who's going to step out? Who's going to step out and be the star of the Chip Kelly offense? Will Torrey Smith, you know, get some better ball handling skills? I hope so. Now, the biggest issue we had last year, some people think it was Colin Kaepernick. Some people think it was Carlos Hyde going down and we couldn't find a running back. Well, no, that wasn't our biggest issue last year. Our biggest issue last year was our offensive line. They were garbage. They were absolute shit. Now, coming into this year, our offensive line is looking, it's looking tremendous. I mean, you can look at the second stringers on our offensive line, and they can put together something better than we had last year. But let's go down. Let's go down our offensive line, okay? At left tackle, we have the great Joe Staley. He has already proven he's always a beast. All right? Left guard. We got Zane Beatles. We got him out of Jacksonville. And I'm real happy with that. And we got Andrew Tiller backing him up. At center, thank God Daniel Kilgore's back. He was hurt last year. We got him back. Marcus Martin was like the worst, one of the worst centers in 49er history. Absolutely. Now, oh, hey, if you want to call in, you want to call into the show, hold on, I'll get you a number here. The number is area code 646. 668-8467. Give me a call. We'll get you on the air right now. So back to talking about our offensive line. Having Daniel Kilgore back is epic. As a matter of fact, him getting hurt last year, being hurt last year was probably the most detrimental injury on our team. If you don't have your center, your O-line doesn't have a leader. Your O-line is a dysfunction junction. Had a horrible offensive line. At right guard, Anthony Davis came back. He was part of that mass exodus when Tom Sula became coach and Harbaugh got fired. He was one of those guys that quit. I think our son might be up with Chip Kelly. Because one of those guys that quit came back, and that is absolutely huge. Now, I will say this. I think our team is going to at least win 8 games. I think we can be looking at 10 on the total positive side, and on the bad side, which I can't call it Kaepernick because you're going to be forcing the whole organization into. I can tell you, hey, I think they might win 3 or 4 games. It's either going to be really, really good or really, really bad. We don't have a choice. Everything's set. Through all the chaos, can Chip Kelly lead this team out of the dark? You know, will Trent Baalke turn out to be a genius instead of a failure and a piece of shit we all know him to be? Would Jed North make better decisions?
Who knows? But rounding out the line, we got Anthony Davis back, which is nice. And you know who's backing up Anthony Davis? Number one round draft pick, Josh Gardner. That guy, he played for Stanford. Right guard, he's mean and a snake. He's big, he's lean, he's fast. He can probably start on most NFL teams right now. And he's set straight. And then, of course, we have a player I'm actually most excited about. Trent Brown. I'm really excited about Trent Brown. Starting at right tackle, who's by Anthony Davis, went to right guard. Trent Brown's a beast. He does Bum Ferris's old number crowd. Number 77. So that's our starting offense. We're going to be a lot better because they are a lot better. Everything in football starts. Everything. The whole offense. It always starts with the offensive line. Not many people know that. Not many people remember their names until I had forgotten their names at times. And you think I'd know better than host and well, I played the game. So you think I'd know better. Good. The offensive line never gets enough glory, never gets enough respect. There really are no stats other than was your quarterback still in the game or not. That measure how good an offensive line is. The running back having a good year. Believe me, Emmitt Smith, when he was running with Cowboys, running into the Hall of Fame, it was all because of that great role of Dallas. That's why they beat us. They had that big O-line. And I honestly think we got the best offensive line in the NFC West. Seattle ain't got shit. Arizona ain't got shit. And we all know the Rams are shit. So let's take a look at our rival team. Let's take a little bit of a look at what they got going on. Okay, let me get to their defensive roster here. Defense. This is going to be fun. If you want to call in, of course, call me. Getting bored. I realize the passer garage is going a little slow. We took too much time off. So here it is. The Rams are starting defense. Well, we got William Hayes, we got Aaron Donald, we got Michael Brokers, Robert Quinn, Alex Ogletree, Tremaine Johnson, LaMarcus Joyner, Cody Ellis, Setzenbaugh, Mark Barron, Maurice Alexander, TJ McDonald, who is pretty good. Guys, if you look at the left defensive line, William Hayes that the Rams got, come on. Our offensive line can handle what the Rams got up front. We can handle William Hayes. We can handle Aaron Donald. We can handle Michael Brokers. We can handle Robert Quinn. If you are watching HBO's Hard Knocks with the L.A. Rams, you shouldn't see anything we should be afraid of. But the question with our team is, has Colin Kaepernick sapped the energy out of our locker room? Can Chip Kelly overcome it? Is it that much of a distraction? Okay? The Rams are going to bring in Jared Goff. Let me see if they're starting here. Let's check this out. Will they start Jared Goff? Offense. Go. Looking here, and it looks like they will be starting Case Keenum. That's bad news for us. I'd rather we be taking a shot at Jared Goff. But my question is, who the fuck is Case Keenum? Here's your answer. Fucking nobody. Just like every other Rams quarterback that's not named Kurt Warner. Fucking nobody. Okay? Jeff Fisher is garbage. He's a garbage-ass coach. He went to one damn Super Bowl and he fucking lost it. Not that he lost it to the St. Louis Rams. That just shows what a downgrade the Rams have made a coach since winning a Super Bowl. It's like Georgia Frontier owns a team again. But moving on. We got a lot to look forward to on defense. We've never had a week. We didn't even have a weak defense last year. Our defense was legit. Okay. Let's take a look at our defense. We got Eric Armstead. Oh my goodness. On that big blue line. And who's running with him? His old buddy from Oregon. DeForest Buckner. If you're a Niner fan, you've got to be excited. I want to see these guys play together. I want to see what they can do. Chip Kelly's real excited about it. I want to see what they can do. I mean, we know Ahmad Brooks is the truth. We know Navarro Bowman is the greatest linebacker in the game today. We are not without talent. This team, especially on the defensive side of the ball, is extremely talented. I mean, Michael Wilhelm, talent. Tate Carradine, talent. Tremaine Brock, talent. Antoine Bethea, talent. Eric Reed, talent. Jimmy Ward, talent. We got the horses on defense. We can hold anybody in the NFL. Our team can hold any team in the NFL if they got the offense to back it up. And that's the biggest question. That's why Chip Kelly was hired. Because everybody's thinking, because the way Chip Kelly runs his offense, oh, it's a perfect fit for Colin Kaepernick. Well, if you ask me, and I've been saying this for a long time, Colin Kaepernick quit playing with heart right after he got that big contract. He started throwing shit in. Ever since Dick Sherman, Richard Sherman, became his favorite receiver in the NFC Championship, Colin Kaepernick, he lost it. Losing the first game ever in Levi Stadium. To the Chicago Bears. That 8-day season. See, everybody thinks that 8-day season. Well, you know, no, that 8-day season is a disaster. That was more of a disaster than last year's 5-11 season. Because, you know, we had the Colts, we had the horses. And, he just honed it in. He honed it in. So let's talk about Blaine Gabbert, okay? Went to the University of Missouri, Missouri Tiger, and he really set the Tigers apart. Had him in the SEC Championship, with the bowl game. Came out number one, the Jacksonville Jaguars. Went to Jacksonville, and he never had shit. Didn't have shit for receivers. Didn't have shit for an offensive line. Worse than we had last year. Okay, he got the hell beat out of him in Jacksonville. Career ended. Over. Talked to a couple of Jacksonville fans. They'll say, oh, Blaine Gabbert's garbage. And my first question to him is, because I like college ball too. I like Auburn. My first question to him is, well, what did he have? Who did he have around him? And he couldn't answer that. So I'm going to tell you all right now, is Blaine Gabbert stepping in week one against the Los Angeles Rams to be the quarterback of the best professional football team he has ever had the chance to step on the field with? Blaine Gabbert will have the best offensive line in the NFC West in front of him. And in all honesty, it's his to win, or it's his to lose. Blaine Gabbert, who has a Herculean task in front of him. Absolute Herculean. And I'm behind him 5,000%. Colin Kaepernick, yesterday's news. Okay? Yesterday's news. Blaine Gabbert can get that off. Put it on his shoulders. Demonstrate leadership, courage. Just get it done. Read a defense, which is something Colin Kaepernick's never really been good at. Check his receivers. Have a disciplined and aggressive offensive line in front of him. Have some time. He's going to get the job done. He has the skills to get the job done. He absolutely does. No, he can't run like a deer in the headlights like Kaepernick. If you pay attention to football, those gimmicks only work one fucking year. The league catches up. You cannot beat solid quality performance and dedication. Blaine Gabbert's paid his dues. Time for Blaine Gabbert to shine now. Take a little break here. I'll be back in a few minutes. And we're going to get the lowdown, the complete lowdown on Blaine Gabbert.
Hanging on the promises and the songs of yesterday.
All right, everybody, get the A-bomb here. I'm back from the Paso Garage, trying to fly in solo here. If you want to give us a call, the number is area code 646-668-8467. You're in the Paso Garage call, talk about week one. The San Francisco 49ers, and I know you're listening. I checked the board. There are thousands of them. Get on that phone and give me a call. 646-668-8467. Anyways, so let's get on this about Blaine Gabbert, okay? A little bit of history. We need to know our new quarterback's history. We really do. Now, Blaine Gabbert, he's a youngin', okay? Blaine Gabbert was born when Joe Montana was still winning Super Bowls in the San Francisco 49ers. He was born October 15th, 1989. Real proud of that. Okay? And that shows you how freaking old I am. Oh, I'm old. Anyways, Blaine Gabbert, he's from a little itty-bitty town like Colin Kaepernick. Baldwin, Missouri. He attended Parkway West High, and he was the pride of their football team. Now, here's the deal. In Missouri, high school football is a little different than it is here. Even though Missouri is not really the South, but it's kind of the South. It's almost the South. It's got a lot of rural territory. And in Missouri, when you play for a high school, you represent your whole town. You represent your whole town. So he's had that on his shoulders. So did Colin Kaepernick. But you know what? I don't think he's going to shit it away like Colin did. I don't think he is. I mean, he was good enough in high school to be recruited by Nebraska, the Cornhuskers. And what kind of character did he have? He chose to go to his home school. Chose to become a Mizzou Tiger. A Mizzou Tiger, I mean, he chose to sit on the bench at home rather than play at a big powerhouse university. Now, some of the say it's because Bill Callahan got fired out of Nebraska, but no. I think somebody was talking in his ear. And he had a great career in Missouri. He had a fantastic career. I mean, first year, you know, he threw for a ton of yards, a ton of touchdowns. 2010, he got his team to a bowl game, almost won the SEC championship. I mean, it was awesome. Ended a 70-game losing streak against the Sooners. It was awesome. In college, now I'm looking at this here. Okay. In 2008. He rode pine. His career completions in college, 568 attempts. 568 completions at 933 attempts, 60.9% completion rate. That's phenomenal. He only had 18 interceptions in his whole college career. And he really only played for 2 years, 2009, 2010. You're forgetting about that. Because he went to Jacksonville, and he just didn't do that. He got drafted in 2011. He just didn't do that well. He just never had a chance. He had nobody. He had nothing. He had garbage. He had shit in Jacksonville. No offensive line in front of him at all. Joke of a receiver corps. A joke. He had nothing. Came to the 49ers, back up Colin. Calling goes down. We lose all hope. He actually brings a little bit of life in the last season when we didn't even have a head coach. He can lead this team. Blaine Gabbert can lead this team. Now, I know if you guys know our host, Anthony Passo. Anthony Passo is huge on Colin Kaepernick. If you watch his Facebook videos, he's always praising Colin Kaepernick. And when it comes to Kaepernick's God-given ability, he's absolutely right. But Colin Kaepernick's missing two buckles. He's missing the one behind his eyes, and he's missing the one under his chest. No brains, no heart. Colin Kaepernick's a Jaguar. So, I'm going to wind the show out. Short show this week, because we are on the road. If you're watching in the Facebook group, 49 Fans Fed Up, a little debauchery, you can see me here. I'm in the hotel room. We had to hurry to rent this room just so we can get the broadcast up. But we got passes on the road in Philadelphia, taking care of business. Let me look here. And he says hello to everybody. Farmer Jacob, he's taking care of his business with his radio show. I'm here doing the garage. We're going to win Monday night. We're going to be at the game with Farmer Jacob. We're going to have a big old American flag. Maybe you'll see us on TV. I don't know. But we will be there in Levi Stadium. And I'm going to be taking the flag that was draped over my old man's coffin at his funeral. Flag's never been unwrapped. I'm going to have to probably take the shells out, the ceremonial shells, 21 of them. Take those out, leave them in the hutch. And I'm going to take my uncle's flag to that game. And I'm going to fuck if Colin says or not, that's his right. But I'll sure as hell be standing. Colin Kaepernick takes that field. Farmer and I are going to stand holding that flag, and we're going to turn our backs on Colin. I would rather lose with Blaine Gabbert than win with Colin Kaepernick. Not much comes before 49ers in my life. But God, family, and country do. And that's where Colin made his mistake. His locker room poison needs to go. We need to invest in Blaine Gabbert. Anyways, Passover Vlogs listeners, thank you so much for tuning in. I do appreciate it. Well, it's time to go. I am the A-Bomb. Thank you for listening. Oh, we'll catch you next week here on the Passover Garage.
Overtime, ladies and gentlemen. All right, do we like 90-0? There we go. Let's go to work. 90-0 on one, ready?
Inside hand of Garrison Hurst. Breaks the tackle at the 10. Across the 20. Down the sideline. 30. Cuts it back at the 45-50. Still on his feet. 35-30. Garrison Hurst to the 10. To the 5. Into the end zone. Touchdown.
You can spot me out in Lot E any given Sunday. Rain or shine, catch me nighttime on a Monday. Lee Redding.